Spirit of God in me, Lord. Preach and teach your word, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would all give us ears to hear. Give us the will to do, Lord God, according to your good pleasure. For these things, Father God, I say to you, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, God is doing something special in our midst.
Amen.
Holy Spirit is in control.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Where's grace? I don't see that child grace anymore.
Amen.
Grace would sound like a young woman.
Yes. Amen.
God be the glory.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I praise God for our youth.
Yes.
Can't you just see them growing up and maturing in front of our eyes?
Yes.
Doing a wonderful job, Taylor. Yes. The Spirit of God is in them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In fact, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the heart, because it's the heart that God looks upon. It's the heart that God ultimately will judge our actions and our works as Christians once we come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to address this message toward the youth, but as is the word of God, we can always glean something, even the older children. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, for the youth, I've been preaching and teaching on a series I've entitled Holiness of Heart. Holiness of Heart. And God gave me this series of messages back at the beginning of the month, partly in recognition of the season that we call Lent. Lent is a 40-day period in Christendom where it begins on Ash Wednesday. This year began on February the 22nd. It extends 40 days all the way up to the day prior to Resurrection Sunday, which would be April the 7th of this year. According to my count, we're 27 days into this Lenten period. And you might ask, what is Lent? Well, Lent is a time where we reflect on our relationship with God. We reflect and we determine how we've been in terms of obeying His Word. How we've been doing in terms of our relationships with one another. And it's also a time of repentance. Many times we find ourselves doing things that we truly don't desire to do, but we find ourselves doing those things. And that's why we serve a God who is great, who has tender mercies and loving kindnesses toward us, and He forgives us of our sins. But He looks on our motive and our heart. And so I'm thankful that JR and Maria read the scriptures that we brought to your attention before. And I just want to take a look at the two of them, and then we will speak briefly on holiness of heart. First, in the Old Testament, the psalmist David wrote in chapter 119, beginning with verse 1, he says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." He goes on to say, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart."
Amen.
Amen. Then he goes on to say, "They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways."
Wow.
And then many thousands of years later, the Apostle Paul wrote this passage to the church at Thessalonica, church that was near and dear to his heart. And he says in chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, he's actually praying a prayer. He says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we rejoice for your sakes before our God, as we pray earnestly day, night and day, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now may God himself and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, listen to this, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So we find that the Word of God in both the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament addresses the fact that God desires us to have a heart toward him where we are obedient, where we are appreciative, where we have gratitude for what he's already done for us, for what he is doing for us, and what he is yet to do. And so when we really talk about having holiness from a godly perspective, what it means is that we are separated unto God.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we're perfect. None of us are perfect. That's why he says if we sin, we are to confess those sins. And then he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So it's not that we're perfect. And it's not that we're in a position where we can judge another person because of their shortcomings. But what it means is that we've been separated, we've been consecrated, and we've been dedicated unto the law and the life of God.
Yes.
And so when we think about it, what we're really saying is that as Christians, God expects us to live in a different way than that of the world or that of those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that he separated us unto himself, the fact that he has equipped us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and he has given us a choice whether we're going to do it his way or to do it our way will determine whether our hearts will be unblameable unto him or whether our hearts condemn us. And so young people, the message I want to get across today is that the fact that God gives us a choice, and he gives us a choice in terms of the things that really motivate us to do what we do in this life. And when we look at what it really means when we talk about heart, from a spiritual perspective, it is not only our mind, our will, and emotions, but it's our moral character, that thing that we cannot see that really determines what guides us to do right and what guides us to do wrong. And as I said, we have a choice to allow the Holy Spirit to be that guide, that person within us, to guide us and lead us, or we can do it on our own. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you, I want to implore all of us, as Deacon Smith said, it's better to do it God's way.
Amen.
And even if it means making some sacrifices in this life. And so when we talk about holiness of heart, we're really talking about how are we living our lives? How are we considering the fact that, look, God, I know that everything I have, you've given me.
Yes.
You've given me my mind. You've given me my will. You've given me my emotion. You've given me resources. All of these things are to give back to you so that I can bring honor and praise and glory to your name. But it takes a certain mindset, and that's really what I want to spend the majority of our time today on. How do we think? Because how many of you are familiar with Solomon? Solomon, yeah, all right? You know, Solomon was a wise man. God said there would be none like him, either before or after him. One born of a natural birth through woman. And I put it that way because we know the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man, but he was born of the Holy Ghost, conceived of the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about a natural man. There was none wiser than Solomon. And he said in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, he says, "For as he thinks in his heart, Some translation says, as a man. Man is generic, meaning man and woman. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so, young people, I want you to think about someone or some group that you really admire. If you could be like this person or something, and I don't want you to tell us, but think about who that person might be, or person. After you've thought about that, I want to tell you and declare that as a child of God, you can have no greater privilege. You can have no greater authority, no greater influence in the world than to be a child of God who is submitted and committed to do things God's way.
Amen.
Because with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
But we have to believe it.
Yes.
We can't just, okay, accept the fact that it's in the Bible. We have to begin to believe it, and we have to walk in it. And that's why, young people, I'm so blessed by you. I'm blessed by the fact that you have the boldness, you have the desire, and you have the will to come up here and stand before us older folks and to render the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you.
Amen.
Thank you, Taylor, for sharing your heart with us.
Amen.
To let us know that, look, everything is going to be all right. God will provide all that we need.
Amen.
As a young person, she understands that. And she appreciates the gift that God has put in her life, namely her mother and her brother and all the, you know, mentors that she has, all the resources. She recognizes that they're from God.
Amen.
And it touched her heart so much. And we can see that in you, Taylor. We can see that in each one of you. And what I'm trying to do is I want to be your cheerleader today.
Yeah.
And I want you to understand that, look, to be a child of God and to be not proud in the sense that you're puffed up, but to take courage in the fact and know that, look, you are special.
Amen.
Say this with me. Say, I am special.
I am special.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
You see, the world would want you to think that you're strange. Well, the Bible does say we're peculiar.
Yes.
The Bible says that we are different.
Yes.
But we're different unto the Lord. They thought Jesus Christ was different.
Yes.
They thought he was strange. They called him all kinds of names. Made all kinds of fun of him. Mocked him. Even laid their hands on him. But the point I'm trying to make is we have to be secure in our own skin.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need to understand and know that we are special unto God and that God has given us tremendous things, things even beyond that which we can ask or even think.
Wow.
And that's why when you see Miss Roberta get up here and praise the Lord, just say, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
You can understand where she's coming from because you know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Everything that we have, every breath that we take is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And we should not take it for granted.
Amen. Amen.
Folks, your own age, you're dying.
Yeah.
We see it all the time. And so we don't take it lightly, the blessings that God gives to us.
Amen. Amen.
But I want to talk a little bit about how we think. What influences us? And you know, I like to involve you. I like to involve you in whenever we have messages like this. So I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking caps right now, all right? Because I'm going to ask you some questions and I want you to respond to the best of your ability. And even the older folks can help out. But let's give the young people first preference, okay?
Amen.
All right, now, I want you to think about the fact that there are certain things that stimulate or cause us to act the way we act. And I want you to think about those things. Things that we observe. I'm giving you a hint. All right? So in your own way, what are some things that influence the way we think? Yes, Grace. Your friends, that's right. What else? That's a great one. What else, folks? Yeah, okay, great. Parents? Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Justin?
Television.
There you go. What else? What you're saying is correct, right? And I know because you're a child of God, your friends and your parents influence you positively. But there's television. There's some other media. Yes. Yes, Satil. The internet. All right. The computer. What else? That's enough, isn't it?
Radio.
All right. Music. That's a big one. That's a big one. What I'm trying to get us to see is that all these things bombard us with messages. And what we allow and what we receive into our mind ultimately is going to be revealed in our actions.
Amen.
And that's why God says we need to put a guard over our mind. Because we can take in negative things and not even realize it. And that's why we have to be very careful about the things that we allow to see, the things we hear, because they impact our motive and our heart. I tell you, as a young person growing up, we didn't have the temptations. We didn't have access to all the information that you all have today.
Amen.
And I tell you the truth, I'm glad I grew up in my generation and not yours.
Amen.
Because after we get understanding, God holds us accountable for what we know.
Amen.
And for what we do. But the Bible says, look, as a man or as a person thinks in their heart, so they are.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are a child of God, you need to understand and know that there's nothing in this world that can defeat you unless you and I allow it to defeat us. There's nothing in this world that can cause us to get so down and depressed that we can't come out of that thing, because we have God. And when we put our focus and our trust in God, all things are possible unto us.
Amen.
But what happens is sometimes we embrace the ways of the world. We see things happening that are unfortunate, things that we don't desire to happen to ourselves, and we allow those circumstances and those situations to cause us to forget about God.
Mm-hmm.
We lose hope. We lose faith. And God is saying to us today, listen, I am here with you.
Amen.
And if you think I'm a big God, if you think I'm large and in charge, if you think that I'm the omniscient one, I know it all, I'm the all-powerful one, and I'm ever-present. If you think those things, then the smaller things that happen to you pale in comparison. So I want us to think about how big our God is and the fact that you and I have access to God.
Amen. Amen.
But we got to believe it. We got to fully embrace it. Now, I know that you all have different challenges in your schoolwork, have different challenges in your social life. You have different challenges in your own homes. But the point I want you to make is, look, never leave God out of whatever it is.
Amen.
That you find yourself going through. More importantly, it's better to thank God, particularly when he's blessing us. See, it's real easy to thank God when things are going well, right?
Amen.
But I'm saying to you, not only should we thank him when things are good, but especially when things are bad.
Amen. Amen.
Because that gives God faith and trust in us. And the reason why some of us seem to be going through tough times is, as Deacon Smith said, God can entrust us with trials and tribulations because people are looking at us.
Amen.
You and I are the only Bible, if you will, that some people will read because they won't come to church. They want to understand what a Christian is like. They're going to look at your lifestyle. They're going to look at the words you and I choose to use, how we treat people. And that will determine whether they decide to either try God or to say, look, I don't have nothing to do with those folks. I could do all right on my own. Mm-hmm. But it begins with our thought life. And it begins with our faith to believe that, look, what God says is true. So when we think about the fact that God has given us motives, God has given us emotions, God has given us will, the question then becomes, look, Lord, how do I allow you to shape my will, shape my motives, shape my emotions? How do I allow you to do that? And you know what? I think some of you all have the answer. How can we make sure that we're doing things that God will be pleased with? I'm asking y'all a question. There's several things that we can talk about. What's the first thing we need to do? We got to accept God, first of all. That's right. Now, I know all of you all have, but the second thing is to study His Word. Meditate on His Word. And that's why it's so important, young people, that you get to know what God says in His Word. Because people are going to challenge what we believe. And if we are not settled in what we believe in, then the Bible says we can be tossed like winds, waves in the wind, tossed to and fro. And we'll accept any kind of doctrine. So it's very important that we understand, study, and meditate on the Word of God. Now, what do I mean when I meditate on the Word of God? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord, God of the universe, He is my shepherd. Now, what does the shepherd do? The shepherd takes care of sheep. Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Shepherd feeds the sheep. Shepherd makes sure the sheep has water. It's the shepherd's responsibility to make sure that the sheep's welfare are taken care of. You see, when we begin to meditate on the Word of God and we can make the connection between what God says He is as a shepherd and what He means to us in our individual lives. See, the Word comes alive to us.
Amen.
And it's not just something we're reading. It's not just like facts that we're trying to learn in a textbook. It becomes personal. What's the other thing we can do? We can apply it, but we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to understand that, look, when we speak to God, and we sincerely try to communicate with Him and to Him, He's going to speak back.
Amen.
Now it comes in different forms. It comes through people. It comes through circumstances. But you know what? I really, really know what God wants to do. He wants to speak to each one of us in His own way.
Amen.
The Bible says that He knows us by name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. And it may take some time before you get to that place where you can hear in your mind, in your conscience, that God is saying to you, I love you. I care for you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But you got to keep praying. You got to keep believing. You got to keep trusting.
Amen.
In the Lord.
Amen.
But see, that's a mind thing. See, our human mind says, well, you know, hey, I prayed and God didn't do nothing, so I'm going to keep moving on. I'm going to do my own thing. You got to learn how to wait on the Lord.
Amen.
And young people, I know that's a tough word to have to deal with. It might be even tougher for us older children.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Truth be told.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the point I'm trying to make is that God will answer our prayers. He said, call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen.
Can you really, really embrace the fact that, look, God wants to speak to you and call you by name, Justin. God wants to say, Justin, I got great, mighty plans for you, son. And you know what? If you don't know what you have an inclination or you have a desire to do in life, ask God. God, what is it that you want me to do? God, you allowed me to be born into this world for a purpose, and my life belongs to you. See, so we got to get past the fact that God is there for us, and when we need him, we'll call on him. When we want blessings, we'll call on him. When we want his protection, we'll call on him. You wouldn't want someone to treat you that way, would you?
Amen.
They only want to relate to you when they want something.
Amen. Amen.
Guess what? God is the same way, except he's even more sensitive. But we got to understand that the way we think, the way we act, will ultimately determine what comes out of our heart. The words we use, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's why we have to be careful of what we listen to.
Yes.
And what we say. Young people, I just simply want to say to you that you belong to God. You have miracles inside of you. Things beyond what you can ask or think.
Yes, yes.
Each child of God has miracles within them.
Yes.
Some of y'all looking at me strange. But look, the Holy Spirit of God, the one who is able to do all things, and he does them all things well.
Amen.
He is the one who lives within us, and he has the ability to make us do miracles if we will trust him.
Amen.
The last thing I'll say to you is that as Christians, when we receive Jesus Christ, we will all go to heaven and be in his presence. But there's one thing we're all going to have to give an account for, and that is the works, the things that motivated us to do the things that we do while we were saved, while we were children of God. Those are the things we're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. Jesus is going to judge the motives of our heart.
Amen.
And that's why today I'm saying to all of us, as we look forward to Palm Sunday next Sunday, as we look forward in 2 weeks to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we look at what motivated him out of love, out of sacrifice, out of humiliation to do what he did for us, we too ought to look at what motivates us to do things for God. I like to say this. Bible says that the word, the very thought and heart of God became flesh and dwelt among men. And we behold his glory as only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But as mortal men and women, boys and girls, we need to allow the flesh to become more like the word, the thought, the mind of God. And if we take on that mentality, God will begin to transform us so that our actions, our motives, our thoughts, our decisions are more in line with his will. I said before, you all are living in a very unique time in history, young people. It's a very exciting time. Information is just exploding but it's also a very perilous time. It's a time you don't make the right decision, it can cost you tremendously. And that's why I want you all to understand that God is with you. God has already mapped out what it is that He intends for you to accomplish. That's what Ms. Roberta said. Until we accomplish what God has purposed us to accomplish, we might have to go through some things.
Amen.
But God will not lie. And so holiness of heart, we simply mean that we are consecrated, we're dedicated, and we're fully convinced to do things the way God intends for us to do it. It also means that it might mean making sacrifices.
Amen. Amen.
Sacrifices that this flesh wants to do. You got to tell the flesh to be quiet. And declare that I will do the works of the Lord.
Yes.
And if you learn this at an early age, beloved, I tell you, I just can't wait to see what God is going to do in and through you. Because you are special. And God loves you so much. And your parents, and your pastor, and all of your friends, we love you too.
Amen.
And we want the best for you. But God has the answer for each one of us. But it requires holiness of heart toward Him. Father God, we bless your name. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you don't ask us to do anything beyond our